for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2005 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday morning, December the 27th, 2005. The speaker of the morning is Chris Simpson, speaking on Root Reason Why You Get Sick.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And yesterday has passed. It will never, ever happen again. Everything is forward. Can you hear an amen? That's what I love about the Lord. The demons always try to drag up yesterday, right? Or last week, or last month, or last year, or the last decade. But the Holy Ghost, he leads us to that scripture. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. Amen? And pressing to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And this is a new day. His mercies, it is of His mercies that we're not consumed. Because it's compassion. You know what that means? That means we deserve to be consumed. How many of y'all recognize that you deserve to be consumed by the fires of hell, but for the mercy of Jesus? Amen? If you ever get to where you think, well, okay, other people need to go to hell. If I go to hell, I'll be in the shallow pool. Well, Holy Ghost is going to get on you. Well, I'll be in the waiting pool of hell. No. We all deserve the deep fires. Amen? But for the grace of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, this is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, I was thinking about this the other day. I said, not doing my teaching. This is free. The wisdom of God is so incredible that He takes us in our worst moments and uses it for the best. Let me explain. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So when we sin, and I'm sure there are people here that at one time or another in your life have sinned since you've been saved. Anybody? Okay. If you sin, deliberately, willfully sin, I just want to turn my back on Jesus and do my euparistatos. You know what euparistatos? That's the Greek word for the easily besetting sin that doth, the besetting sin that doth, you know, Hebrews 12:1, the sin that doth so easily beset us. The Greek is euparistatos, and what it means is a sin that has everything in its favor of overcoming us. That's what it means. And so we yield to our euparistatos. We yield to the sin that has everything in its favor of overcoming us, okay? We deliberately do that. And then if you're saved, the conviction of the Holy Ghost comes, and you say, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. What a low life. How can you? Thank you for your mercy. Can I amen? Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you run and you embrace me and you put on the robe, you put on the shoes, you throw a party, I'm home. Thank you, Lord. Okay? Then the demons come stage left. Ah, you low life slum. Look at that. You're going to do it. But God is so good that when you fall, but you repent and come back to Jesus, He gives you wisdom and insight and discernment of the devices of the enemy then. He gives you understanding of how the wiles of the devil, and you actually come out stronger and more able to defeat the enemy the second time than the first. You see, that's what it means. He turns all things together for the good. So when the devil comes and says, you low life, you can say, Satan, you don't understand. The grace of my God is so awesome that when I sin, His grace is more abundant. In my sin, His grace is much more abundant. Now, that doesn't mean you can take advantage of His grace. It doesn't mean you say, oh, I think I got this down. You mean I sin, I get more grace? Let us sin that grace may abound. And Paul says, no, you don't understand. Romans 6. He says, no. If you're dead to sin, you're alive under righteousness. Don't go there. He says, but understand the risk that God took with grace. It's a risk. But it's because He loves us. Can you hear an amen? So we can truly say yesterday has passed. And Satan's one bailiwick, his one weapon is to be the accuser of the brethren, to throw stuff in your face that you done did. And our one weapon is the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Can I amen? I want to say that this morning. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I want to remind you today over my life and the life of everyone here that you are defeated simply because of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Jesus shed his blood and it's washed us from our sins and iniquities, never to be remembered anymore in Jesus' name. So we command you to get thee behind us. Guilt, shame, condemnation, accusation, memory of sin, hopelessness, despair, discouragement, we take your power in Jesus' name. Get thee behind us. For faithful is he that calls us, who also will do it. And he's called us to forsake the things behind, forget the things behind, and press for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Jesus' name. And nobody said. Amen, amen. All right, well, this morning I want to share with you a topic that kind of ties into last night, entitled The Root Reasons Why You Get Sick. Okay? And turn to James 5. We're really only going to look at about three or four verses in this one chapter here. I got a water, agua, please. James 5. I mentioned this last night, and I felt like this morning we do a little Bible study. How many of you have Bibles? You know, I have a meeting, and when I call a meeting, if there's somebody in the room who doesn't have a Bible, I stop the meeting, tell the ushers to come bring them a Bible. And particularly them teenagers, I make them have a Bible. Amen? No, ma'am, this will be fine. Thank you. And, hey, you want to give your testimony? Yeah, hey. This is cool. Just talking.
Hallelujah. Okay. I'm glad I can talk in this one instead of that one, because I'm fasting, and that reminds me of a chicken leg. Marvin never laughs at my jokes, y'all. 3 weeks, I've been battling pain. Okay, severe pain in my hands. And last night, guess what? Jesus showed up. Brother Chris, Brother Mikey, they prayed for me. No pain. I didn't take any narcotic pain pills. I took some relief, but no gloves. Jesus showed up. Hallelujah.
Here you are. Give the Lord a hair clap.
It's tingling and itching, thank God. No numbness.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, the reason I wanted our sister to share that this morning was that ties into what I want to share this morning. Because when she came up, and I'm not going to go into any detail, be sensitive to her, but when she came up and asked for the physical healing of her hands, I began to ask her some questions. I don't know Joanne. I've never met you before, but that's okay. The Holy Ghost knows her, and she's a sister. And I began to ask her some questions about her ailment. When did it come upon her? Who is that? That's too close. How's that? Is that better? And you know, Jesus said that. Did you know when they brought the leper, the guy, he had his son that had epilepsy in Luke 9? Remember, he said, how long has this been on him? That's what Jesus said. And the guy said, of a child. Well, so there's some, Jesus would ask questions. So it's okay to ask questions. And so I began to query her about, and come to find out, she had made a prayer some weeks ago. Lord, use my hands for healing anointing. Well, lo and behold, all this horrible pain has come into her hands. Well, I believe there were some other issues way back in her past. Something, while we were talking, I heard a voice in my, I guess it was a discerning spirit. I heard a demon's voice saying, like, hell. That's what I heard the demon say. You know, would you pray, Joanne, use my hands for healing? It was like this demon went, like, hell. And that's why you came down with that ailment. And so I put my hands on her, I said, demon, like, Hades, are you going to do that to her? Can I have that? We broke that demon. Praise the Lord. Amen? Is this real? You know, the key there, and it ties in this morning, the root reasons why you get sick, sometimes it's incumbent upon us when we pray for people to listen to the Holy Ghost. That's what I was saying last night. To ask questions, and while I was talking to her, I was praying, I was listening and dialing in, trying to hear what the Holy Ghost, and what the Holy Ghost let me do was hear what the demon said to her. Yes, it's discerning of spirits is the gift in 1 Corinthians 12. Discerning of spirits, not just spirit, but spirits, angelic and demonic. Amen? And a lot of times I can hear the voice of a demon, what he's been whispering in a person's soul. And that's exciting when I hear that sucker. I'm going, okay, you've just lifted the veil. Now I know the we're not ignorant of his devices, lest he should gain advantage over 2 Corinthians 2:11. But when we understand his devices, then we can Not no, but Hades no, in Jesus' name. Amen? So we're going to talk a little bit, James 5:14. I want to analyze some things in the Word here. I'm a student of Strong's Concordance. I like to look at the Greek. I don't really know any Greek. I know one Greek guy runs a deli down on the air. But I'm really not versed in the Greek, but I have been around long enough to understand how to look at the Strong's Concordance. In fact, I have it on my computer now. You don't even have to open a book. You can click with your mouse, and it goes into the deeper reasons of words. It is fun and exciting to me to dig into the Word. You know what I mean? I like to take an old familiar verse that we've looked at for years and dig into the original languages and different. And boy, all of a sudden, all kind of revelation comes forth. You go, wow, you know, we've been thinking it this way, and this is what the Word really means. So, you know, the Bible says study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Does it say that? It doesn't say read, it says study. It's important to study the Word of God. And it's filled with treasures of richness. So we're going to look at a very familiar verse today that, and hopefully illuminate some things you never saw here before. In fact, I believe these passages is one of the clearest descriptions of true Holy Ghost ministry and the whole Word of God. And it's James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Now, this is a clear command. It doesn't say, if any sick among you, run to the medicine cabinet. Hello? Does it say that? See, we Americans, we sophisticated, civilized Westerners, you know, one of the reasons we don't see the level of signs and wonders is because we have such a large ability, access to drugs. I mean, within 1 mile of my house is probably five pharmacies. CVS, Walgreens, Walmart has theirs, Kroger's has theirs. Everyone's pharmacy filled with drugs. And the guy in the pharmacy is named a pharmacist. Y'all know what the Greek word for pharmakia is? You know what the word pharmakia is in the Greek? It means witchcraft. Galatians 5, one of the fruits of the flesh, is witchcraft. And the Greek is pharmakia. Now, I'm not saying your friendly Walgreens pharmacist is a witch doctor. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if you study the roots of these things, running to medicines tends to be the means of the flesh. That's why it says in Galatians 5, one of the fruits of the flesh is pharmakia. Now, listen, there are some medicines, I don't have a doubt in the mind, were inspired of the Lord. If you study about Louis Pasteur, if you study about the gentleman who brought the medicine, the antidote to polio, to some of these old diseases, to measles, or mumps, or I remember some. I believe a lot of those were God-inspired. I'm not an anti-doctor guy. See, a brother, Dr. Null's not even here, and I'm saying that. But I do believe there's a better way, okay? I do believe the command is, if you're sick, go to Jesus first. Go to the doctor. And because God's incredibly generous. I believe God would do far more if we followed His prescription. He has a prescription for healing. And we would be excited to find that He is far more willing to heal us often than we are to avail ourselves of it, okay? And it's just a matter of putting it first. Some of us, we just ingest pills. We just take pills all day long. It's just kind of part of our life. I would challenge you to stop and say, Lord, is there a better way? Or what have I done that I've gotten my point where I have to be dependent upon pills and potions to feel healthy when I'm a spirit-filled believer? Amen? I've had instances to be in the third world, as I said last night. I know one brother, his name was Carlos Anacondia. Y'all ever heard of Carlos Anacondia? Some of y'all have. Carlos Anacondia was the great revivalist in the country of Argentina. He was a nut and bolt salesman. And the anointing came on him, and he would hold these massive revival meetings. In fact, I had a privilege to meet Carlos Anacondia in the early 90s. And it really was Anacondia's ministry that birthed the revival in Argentina that came to America. The great revival in Pensacola? The Pensacola Revival? That was really birthed by Steve Hill, who worked under Carlos Anacondia for years. And the thing about Carlos Anacondia, he would go to villages. In fact, I went and heard him in one of his meetings. And this guy was a fanatic evangelist. He would rent airplanes. Listen to this. He would rent an airplane and he would have a megaphone, and he would fly over a village preaching the gospel from the megaphone, from the airplane, all right? And then he would have, after preaching for 2 or 3 days, where everybody heard it, then he would rent the stadium, and they would fill the stadium, and they would all get healed. Many people would get healed, but his thing was mass deliverance. In fact, that's one of the reasons I went to Argentina. I want to hear who was the master. He would command the demons to come out. In fact, I think he has a book called Satan. Y'all have on account of his book, Get Out of Here, Satan, or whatever. It's one of his famous books he's written since then. But he had these master demons command these demons, and the demons were manifest because this was in the third world, and they worshiped demons down there. Not like us. We don't worship demons. But they blatantly worshiped demons. And then they would have another tent. Anacondia always had another tent, and it was the deliverance tent. And when people were kneeling down, they two or three would grab them, bring them back, and set them in chairs and cast the demons out in the deliverance tent. And I used to always think that was the tent to be in. The thing about in Anacondia is that many of the villagers and many of the people, the healings they would have were astounding. There were so many healings and so many tooth fillings. In fact, he got to the point that you could not come up and give a testimony unless you had two teeth filled. Not one. And because there was so many people being healed. I mean, glorious pictures. You know, you can find some of these on the web of gold and silver. God, the Holy Ghost would put pictures of stars and doves and all this stuff. And the reason it came to me why there was such incredible healing in the era of dentistry is because those poor people didn't have dentists. They had no availability of the kind of medicine that we have. So the Holy Ghost, because they had a need, he came with an abundance. Can you imagine? Whereas here, when we get a toothache, we call a dentist. Now, I have nothing against dentists. I've had a lot of root canals. Thank God for dentists. But, you know, I believe that had I been in a small, it would have been even better. In fact, now I forget the testimony. I did get healed of a root canal right in here one day. So I heard that testimony. A number of years ago, Dr. Null was doing one of his famous mass deliverances where he just goes through all the 17-syllable words. Y'all ever been under one of his mass? As a pediatrician, he says, oh, you demon of, it's this long word of all these things. And he got to mouth problems, and all of a sudden he said, root canal, I felt this tingling. And I was preparing to have a root canal, and it totally was healed. Praise God. So my point is today, if God wants us to follow his prescription. Now, you know what? I want to show you something here. Again, I'm going to knock the word faith movement. Bear with me. But you know what? People that believe the word faith movement cannot do verse 14. They can't do it. Because you see, to say you're sick is a bad confession. To say you're sick is a bad confession. You get around a word faith person, oh, I'm coming down with a cold. Oh, don't say that. That's a bad confession. I say, get out of here. It's a lie. I'm not into lying. Hello? Because it says, unless I can acknowledge that I'm sick, why would I not go to the elders? It says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. Well, if I guess I can't ever say I'm sick, then I can't ever call for the elders because I'm never sick. Folks, I'm telling you, it is a cultic teaching akin to Christian Science. And it's so propagated and permeated in every depth, you can't turn on Christian TV, Christian radio, read Christian periodicals with word faith slamming you in the face. I'm telling you, look at the Word of God. You go to the average word faith church says, I'm sick. Is there an elder that can pray for people? Don't say that. Hello? I remember hearing that back when I was first saved. And this back in the early days. The Hagen, Copeland, Kenyon bunch was just beginning to spread it back then. In the early 70s, this thing was probably, you know, bad confession. And I said, confession, smashing, I'm going to be real. I don't know about you, but blind Bartimaeus was screaming out to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. So I said, quiet, it's a bad confession. Don't say anything. Just claim it. Claim it, shame it, Jesus. And Jesus came to him and said, what do you want? He said, what do you want? And like he said, well, what do you think I want? You're the Son of God. No, he made him confess. Ask. Confess what? What his need was. You have not because you asked not. He said, Lord, that I would receive my sight. Read the gospel. Again, folks, our solution is the Word of God. There is nothing akin to word faith in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul had followers that were sick. He said, Epaphroditus I've left at Miletum sick. Well, why didn't you heal him, Paul? Why didn't you tell him to stand on your verses? That you are, folks, I'm telling you. Go to the Word of God. Study the Word of God. It ain't in there. What's in there is something very strange. The Holy Ghost ministry. That's unpredictable. In fact, I don't know if y'all have seen this new movie. I don't like to talk about movies, but there is a movie come out I just saw called Chronicles of Narnia. This new movie. My wife and I went and saw it. And I've read that book. the Narnia tales by C.S. Lewis. And one thing I like about it is, as God, Jesus is typed as a lion, okay? And the lion, he says he's not a tame lion. He's unpredictable. I said, that's how exactly how the Holy Ghost is. When you're born of the Spirit, he says, you hear the wind, and it, where it goes, and where, so is everyone born of the Spirit. And that's how the Holy Ghost is. You never know what he's going to do. He gave me a vision this morning. This was really cool. I was got up early, and I guess Glenn forgot to turn the heat on over there up there. So I was, it's okay. I would huddle up under the blankets. And actually, it was good, brother. It kept me awake. So I'm sitting there praying in tongues, singing, having a quiet time this morning. Just worshiping the Lord, trying to stay awake. Worshiping the Lord, singing. I have to sit up, singing. And all of a sudden, I had a vision. Real clear vision. And as soon as I saw it, I went, ooh, cool, I was gone. You know, I get these visions. They always last like half a second. That's always it. But they're real clear. I'm like, crystal, it's gone. You know what the vision was? Water was moving. It was a pool of water that started to move. I went, and I didn't know what it meant till the sister came up this morning and said, hey, the Lord healed me. Amen. You connect the dots. What happened? They waited for the moving of the water. And the Lord, and I just emailed my wife a bit ago, and I'm going to go back and email her and said, thank you, Jesus. They need to hear some encouragement. We got some folks up at the church we're dealing with that are sick. And that's the Holy Ghost to me. He showed up this morning. He said, son, I'm moving the waters a little bit. Yes! I can't wait to get home. Before they stop moving. Amen? So, folks, the bottom line is a word-faith person can't do this because they can't admit they're sick. But if you're free enough to admit you're sick, now I know right now saying that, I'm hitting something because that word faith thing is so deep in some of us. You go, wait a minute. No. I need to watch my profession. I need to watch my confession. Folks, I'm telling you, if you understand the roots of that thing, all you need to do is watch Jesus. Just watch Jesus. Holy Ghost will correct your words. If you start saying things, self-inflicted curses on, let the Holy Ghost convict you. Get off your case. Just be real. We have a saying around, you know where it says, be angry and sin not? Be real. So many people are Christian, airy fairy, just walking around trying to be sure this, and I better do this, or God will get me, or demon will get me. Forget that. I'm just going to walk with the Lord. And you know, sin is not an issue. This is so cool. Sin is not your issue anymore. Well, I'm going to make sure I don't sin. Forget to make sure you don't sin. Just walk with Jesus. Because if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate who will take care of the sin. Amen. The sin issue's done. You don't have to focus on your sin. Demons want you to focus on your sin. Demons want you to go, oh, I better not. And the demon says, hey, you better not. You know what? As long as you're focusing on it, you're going to fall into it. That which I greatly feared, what? I fell into it. But when you focus on Jesus, you go, whatever. A just man falls seven times and rises again. I don't care. Sin's not even an issue. Confession's not an issue. The only issue is worshiping Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then if you do something or say something that the Holy Ghost says, this, then the Holy Ghost will convict your heart. Amen. We walk by conviction of the Holy Spirit, not legalistic religious formulas to keep you out of trouble. That's the occult. That's occultic teaching. And this thing has occultic teaching in it. It's wicked. It's part of the great deception. Jesus said even the very elect would be deceived. Boy, I draw the crowds with this preaching, I tell you. I tell the ushers, just let them go. Let them go. Just sit as many people as you can up front because, you know, the back two aisles will be gone. It's okay. When I first started preaching against word faith a couple of years ago, there were people that had been coming to my church for 10 years. Faithful people. There were some folks that were part of a big group way up in Woodlands, and they wrote these really nice tithe checks, you know. It really helped the bottom line. And I began to pray. I mean, they have never had nothing to do with us. Gone. Heretic. I went, it's okay. Jesus is Lord. Amen. God's taking care of it. I don't care. It was when that young lady died that I had my belly full. That was when I said, I've had it. I'm going to stand against this thing. So anyway, going on. Is any sick among you? Are you free to admit you're sick? Work with me. Are you free to admit you're sick? What does it say? Is any sick among you? I'm sick. Husband, I have a fever. I feel bad. It's okay to say that. Oh, don't say you feel bad. Why not? Jesus said it. My heart is sorrowful. He said, my heart is grieving. Oh, Jesus, you were in the garden. You just weren't in a good place of faith. You should have claimed and stood on what? He was being real. I thirst. No, you don't thirst. I thirst. It's phony. It's lying. It's deception. Be real. Take off the mask. Be yourself. All nine legs. Just bleh. I like being real. You know, somebody once said, once you're real, you never lose it. Hard time getting there, but once you're there, you never lose it. My wife said to me, I wish you weren't so real. I said, honey, we both need to be real. Because my wife is pretty real. Anybody knows her? Oh, Lord, she's real. Real woman. It's okay. Well, let's consider something you may have never seen. This is amazing. There are two assumptions in this verse. The first assumption is all should be in a local church. Hello? Is any sick, let him call for who? The elders. So all should be in a local church. Amen? Under elders. Submitted to authorities. And one, that a local church should be with elders that are willing to minister to the sheep individually. That's the second assumption. You should be in a local church with elders and elders that are willing to stop what they're doing, come and anoint you with oil and pray for you and minister to you. Is that what it says? There it is. Prescription of the local church. Jesus gave another prescription of the local church. He said, a shepherd ought to leave the 99 and go find the little sheepy that's lost. Amen? And he says in John 10, I called them by name. I believe when a church gets so big that a pastor cannot do two things. Know them by their name and doesn't have some way to reach them when they scatter, that ceases to be a church and becomes a preaching station. Now, you can have a big giant church. You can. But at that point, the pastor needs to raise up under-shepherds. Amen? It's okay. There needs to be somebody that's caring for the sheep. And what breaks my heart is all these sheep without a shepherd. And these churches. Okay, they're wandering around, falling around, getting caught, getting in deception, getting in the new age, living in fornication, getting into drugs, all this junk, and they're trying to love Jesus. And you know what? The fault goes to the shepherds. And they're teaching, and people, I mean, what makes you mad is these TV evangelists. Who they don't quite come out and say it, but if you tithe to them, they'll take it. Don't tithe to a TV evangelist. Hello? It says, bring the tithes to the storehouse in Malachi. The place, you know, it was the parable of the Good Samaritan. He gave the money to the innkeeper to take care. Okay? So God wants us to provide and be in a church with elders and elders that are willing to minister. And look at the second thing. It says, the prayer of faith... In verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Is that how your versions read? Now, I want to tell you something. It doesn't say heal the sick. It says save them. The King James translated correctly. The Greek is sozo, which means deliverance or protection. Isn't this interesting? And you're going to see in a minute, healing is found a few verses later. But first, it will save you. And it says, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, that word in the Greek, agario means awaken or arouse him up. It'll waken up his conscience. See, what happens is a lot of times sin hardens the conscience. Hebrews 3 talks about, you know, there's a verse that says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin hardens the conscience. In fact, I think it's Mike, it says, new wine and fornication take away the heart. It hardens the conscience. You lose sensitivities to the Holy Ghost. You go to sleep, as it were, spiritually. So the first thing is for the elders to anoint him with oil, and the anointing and prayer of faith will save or deliver the sick and protect them, and the Holy Ghost will awaken them, arise their conscience. And then look what it says. And if they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. Now, in verse 14, before we get to the actual physical healing, verse 15, he doesn't really provide a guarantee of curing disease in that verse at all. Rather, it's deliverance and spiritual awakening is what he's providing for, particularly in areas where you're laboring under the power of past sins. Do you see that? He's particularly talking about areas where you're laboring under the power of past sins. Anoint them with oil. The Holy Spirit will deliver them. He'll awaken their conscience. And they'll be forgiven of the sins. So if you connect the dots, what he's saying is, why was their conscience hardened? Why are they in bondage? Because of past sins. In fact, in just flip the page over, 2 Peter 1 says, verse 9, verse 8, 2 Peter 1:8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you should neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten he was purged from his old sins. And he's talking about believers. Blind. So it reminds me of the Laodiceans. Can't see afar off and forgotten he was purged. In other words, guilt and shame got back a hold of him. So that's really the prescription here. The first thing we have to do with folks is minister the gospel to them. I don't care if they're saved. They may need to hear the gospel again. You know what the gospel is? Jesus died for your sin. If you confess your sins, he's faithful just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You need to be forgiven of your sins. Can an amen? And you need to forgive yourself. A lot of people, they may forgive or receive it, but they never forgive themselves. Okay, and it's just as wrong not to forgive yourself as to forgive somebody else. In fact, it's worse. You give ground to the demons. So the first prescription of healing, physical healing, I have found in ministering to people, is not run in and try to take care of the physical, but do exactly what it says. Anoint them with oil. Wait on the Holy Ghost. Invite the Holy Spirit to come. Pray for the Holy Spirit to come. Pray for the gifts of the Spirit to come. Because a lot of times, the problem that they're laboring under is the power of past sins. One time we had this lady come in some time ago. This is one of those events that caused me to realize I will always be in the ministry. But she had, I had known, I had a radio program I used to do in Houston, and she picked up and ended up coming to some of our meetings. And she came in for prayer. Really attractive lady, had a young husband, and wasn't able to bear children at the time. But anyway, she came in and wanted ministry after coming to a couple of our meetings. And I remember she was sitting there with one of the ladies. I always have a lady with me when I'm ministering to a lady. And we were talking to her. And I began to ask her, you know, are you forgiven? Do you know forgiveness in your soul? Okay? And she said, there's something I have to confess. I said, okay. Now, in a minute, we're going to read that verse, confess your faults to one another and pray one for another. So I said, go ahead and get it out. Well, I come to find out this woman was in her early 30s, okay? And there was something that occurred when she was around 13 or 14. Had to do with a sexual behavior during puberty. And we all were messed up during puberty. For crying out loud, you know? I don't know anybody got through that storm without a bunch of bumping on the side of the walls, you know? So I don't judge anybody. But she got into something, and it wasn't that big a deal. But do you know the demons had tormented her every day? From 13 or 14 years old to early 30s, every single day she remembered this particular sin. And this poor woman, been saved for some time, filled with the Holy Ghost, but it was like this pall and shadow over her. I turned to the sister and I said, well, let's just, you know, pray for her and ask the Lord to enable her to share it. And I assured her, I said, look, trust me, there ain't nothing I haven't heard being deliverance. I mean, we're the Roto-Rooters of the body of Christ, okay? We pull the truck. You know, when Roto-Rooter comes to your house, you notice if Roto-Rooter comes to your house, y'all have Roto-Rooters up here? You don't have the sewer guys park in front. You say, would you park kind of in the back? I don't want my neighbors to know. You know? That's how people are with deliverance, you know. I'm going, Pastor, I come for deliverance, and please don't tell the people I'm with. You know, they might think I have demons. But, so I say, go ahead and share it. It's okay. Well, she finally, folks, I am not exaggerating. It took her 20 minutes to finally say it. 20 minutes! But she, I'm going, get the words out! And she finally said it. Bleh! And it had been in her for 15 years or 20 years. Bleh! And I looked at it and I went, thank you, Jesus. No biggie. I mean, it was missing. I've heard a lot worse. First guy I ministered to, a young boy raped by a priest 5 times. You know, that was my induction to deliverance ministry, one of those cases, you know. I mean, you hear some pretty Roto-Rooter stuff. So she got this thing out, and boy, there was this look on her face like, oh my God, they're going to reject me. She finally got it out. And the sister went over, put her arm around her. And I just said, I looked her in the eyes, I said, in the name of Jesus, like I said, I forgive you. Did you know you can do that? You can forgive. Jesus said, whoever sins, you forgive. They're forgiven. Those are the keys. Did you know that's the first thing he said to the new disciples crawling out of the womb? You know, that's one of the first things the disciples said crawling out of the womb. You know, you can forgive people. When were the apostles born again? Anybody? What point were the apostles born again? I would submit to you, thanks to Norman Parrish, I believe this is true. When was man born? Genesis chapter 1. How was man born? Didn't God take soil of the earth and he breathed into it? And man became a living nephesh, a soul in Hebrew. God breathed into soil. Is it Genesis 1? Somebody find the verse. Is it verse 26? Help me here. Maybe chapter 2? 2:7 or something. I'd like to know the reference. So God breathed into soil, and man became a living soul by God's breath. Well, guess what? Guess when they were born again? John 2:7. But was it John 20:20? By the way, John 20:20 says they were glad when they saw the Lord. There's 20:20 vision. But right after that, somewhere a few verses down 20, he said, and he breathed on them. Ah, Jesus breathed on them. I would submit they were born again. At that point, Judas was out of the picture. All right? Woe to that man, better that he'd never been born. And he breathed on. In fact, Luke says, Luke's interpretation, it says he opened their understanding. They could understand the scripture. Because when what verse is that? John 20:22. He breathed on them and they became, received the Holy Ghost. It wasn't the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was the rebirth. Now, here's new babies. They're born again. I remember the moment I was born again. I was standing in a parking lot of a store that about a couple of months ago was under 9 feet of water in Slidell, Louisiana, from Katrina. Parking lot of a store. And I remember the precise second when this long-haired, noble-faired heroin, a former heroin addict dude named Merv led me to Jesus. And he knelt down and prayed for me in front of all these these girls were having a car wash, and being a red-blooded American boy, I was out watching the girls washing the cars. And he prays for me, kneeling down. I went, oh, my God, I can't believe he's doing this. He's praying for me. This is when he led me to the Lord. But when he was done, I looked across this mall. Well, back then it was these strip centers. And at that precise moment, my eyes were open. I remember, I'm alive. I was born again. I remember the precise second I became alive. Well, what's the first thing Jesus said to the newborn babes? If you look at the next verse, the first thing he said is, brand new babes, this must be really important. If it's the first thing, he said, whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And whoever sins you retain, they're retained. Now that's pretty important. First thing out of the womb, this is what you need to know. Folks, one of the greatest ministries we have is to forgive sins. Amen? When somebody sins against you, what do you mean? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those. God wants to forgive your own sins. Amen? And in ministry, in deliverance, a lot of times you find yourself forgiving sins. Who is this that forgiveth sins? A son of God? Amen? In the name of Jesus, I can forgive sins. And sometimes people need to hear it through a mouth. Amen? I've learned, praise God, although sometimes I need somebody to say, Chris, you're forgiven. Thanks. You know, it's been hard to hear it from the Lord. Amen? Particularly if the demon's been beating you up. Sometimes we need a brother or a sister. We're all just frail dust. But that's a wonderful blessing to forgive sins. And why? That's really the prescription of verse 15. Folks, most sicknesses are rooted in sin. Not all, but most. They're rooted in sin. Somewhere. Generational sin. All right? Some sin that they've hidden. Something they've opened the door. So, excuse me. The beginning of the healing is to forgive the sin. All right? You know what? The Lord wants to heal us inside out. I have a note here. It says, most ministries today deal with the outer superficial, not confronting the deeper root issues behind the problems, sins, and sicknesses. Now, none of this means that you won't get healed. It just means the thrust of focusing on the spiritual, not the physical, is what this verse is about. You know, I've found the best way to pray for folks when you're ministering to them, I always say, come, Lord, bring the gifts of the Holy Ghost. The gifts of the Holy Ghost are our tools. I have a brother. He's an eye surgeon. He's a friend. He no longer comes to my church. He actually was the gentleman, believe it or not, responsible for bringing LASIK to the United States. Y'all know about LASIK vision? It's real popular in Texas. Well, he actually brought it from Russia. His name is Ralph Berkeley. And he was an eye surgeon and back in the 80s. And he was in our church for a season. And He actually did a deal at our church. He said, anybody that has eye problems will do free LASIK. It's about 10 years ago. And that was a blessing, you know. That was before it became popular. And, well, Ralph, I went down to his office once. He's almost retired now. But when he would sit down with his patients, he would have his laser spectrometer dealy. And then he would have all these, a nurse with these tools, you know, just like any surgeon. And so when he was operating, he would ask the nurse to hand him this, certain things, you know, to pry the eyelids apart, maybe inject this and that. Well, you know, a doctor has tools. A doctor usually has a nurse that hands him, am I right? Heart surgeon, nurse, tweezers, pliers, you know, don't leave them in there. You know, people, remember some guy had left a sponge inside, you know. Well, you know what? When you're ministering, the Holy Ghost, believe it or not, has tools for you. And when I'm ministering, it's like the Holy Ghost. The difference is I'm not asking. He's saying, you need this. You need this. You see, you need discernment here. You need boldness here. You need to rebuke here. Like, you need to declare here. You need to check on what you're seeing. You need to open your eyes. What did you just see in the Spirit here? You need to ask questions here. Do you understand? It's that's what I love about the ministry. It's always listening to the Holy Ghost. He is the minister. We just listen. And we do what He says. And by discerning the spirits, sometimes a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, sometimes He comes with a prophetic thing. I found at times I pray and the anointing, and I find myself, the person needs a prophetic boost. And then a prophetic word to break a lie up their head. So again, the emphasis of these passages, folks, is the elders of the church are doing this. With anointing of oil, they're saving the sick, see, they're delivering them. Amen? They're awakening the conscience. They're forgiving sins. They're encouraging them to be forgiven. All that is in verse 50. Now, I believe once that forgiveness is secure within the foundation of the soul, I want to say that again, that's when physical healing often will come. When forgiveness is secure in the foundation of the soul, God can then release the physical healing anointing. A lot of times when people do that, they're not forgiving. A lot of people are sick today because they don't forgive others. Bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, judgmentalism, criticalism will bind you and keep you sick. And how many times we've dealt with people with arthritic conditions and stiffness of the joints and they die early, all these types of things, because they're not forgiving. They're not giving forgiveness. And the reason you don't forgive forgiveness is because you haven't received it. We know you don't. It's hard to give it when you ain't got it. Amen? They don't know they're forgiven, so it's hard to give. Love your neighbor. How's that go? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you can't forgive yourself, it's really difficult to forgive somebody else. And if you don't forgive your brother, whoa, you come under judgment. Matthew 18, Jesus said, you know, if you don't forgive your brother from the heart, you will be subject to torment. Torment. You'll be tormented by the demons. One of the most important things we need to do is learn to forgive. But I tell you, before you can forgive, you've got to know you're forgiven. And I'm talking about deep forgiveness. I'm talking about really coming to terms with the blood of Jesus in all these areas of your past, that nothing is held against you, that it's all under the blood. There's nothing you've done that's not forgiven. Period. If you came humbling yourself to Jesus. Get out of that. What a good deal. Okay, once forgiveness has found its foundation in our soul, now we can go to verse 16. You ready? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. Let's just read the first part. Confess your faults one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, what's really curious is we do find the Greek word for curing sickness. Healed here is the word, I can't pronounce it, the transliteration is I-A-O-M-A-I, I-O-M-A. It means to cure. In fact, 29 times in the New Testament, it's the word used for physical healing. So we see in verse 16 the physical healing actually occurs. But there's a twofold condition for that. And the twofold condition is, first, confess your faults one to another. Okay? You know, a lot of people going for prayer, they just think, slap a little oil on them, prayer of faith, save the sick. Sometimes the Holy Ghost jumps over all this and heals them. He does. Usually because there's not a forgiveness issue. Or sometimes He may heal them even if there is a forgiveness issue, so that they'll get all excited and humble and be willing to get more deliverance. You can't trust the Holy Ghost to do it with a formula. You know, you think you got this thing down. Peter and them, they thought they had it down. Okay, Acts 2:38. They came up to him and said, what must we do to be saved? He said, okay, repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be baptized. And so they had this formula going to the early church. Okay, you repent, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're baptized. That was their formula all the way to Acts 10. Then he's preaching in Cornelius' house. He's preaching to these heathen. The Holy Ghost falls on them. They start speaking in tongues. He says, what will we do? We need to baptize them. Read it. It's the Lord Master's formula. I mean, these heathens spoke in tongues. I mean, wait, you get that after you get saved, and then you get baptized, and then you... Now, actually, the formula is repent, be baptized, and get the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. And the Holy Ghost messed it all up. And he likes to do that. Peter, just chill. You know, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. But there's a reason it's written here the way it is. Because I found in the large amount of cases, this is the way it is. The reason most people are sick is because of spiritual roots. And I like preaching this to deliverance folks. Because deliverance folks understand it's not just, you know, slap them on the head, brother. Boom. Boom. You know, you go to some of these churches. I was down in, I did a conference, a deliverance conference in La Paz, Bolivia, last January or February. And we put on some meetings in downtown La Paz. And there was this preacher there who was helping me. And I guess they plug in. It makes me grieve. Down in Bolivia, for crying out loud, way far away. They get all the satellite word faith stuff down there. I'm going, the poorest country in the South America. You know, God can move. And so I go to these meetings, and they're all doing the, you know, touching, just bap, 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 bap. All these people falling out in the spirit, and I'm looking at them. You know, and they're just still full of demons. And they're doing all this pizzazz stuff. So when it came to my time, I would pray for people, but I wasn't doing that. I would embrace the person, and I'd invite them. I'd stand with one person for 10 minutes. And some of them were upset, because I was the visiting preacher. You know, I was the guy that they had all these people in line. I mean, it's 30 minutes, I'm on the third person. But guys, I don't know how to do that any other way. I don't know how to go, well, sure, I'm not saying I didn't know how to do it. Because I'd stand there, I remember there was this one little woman, she was an Indian woman, came up and knelt down, just face lined with all these, you know, aged woman, looked like she was 200 years old, just kneeling down. And I pray, and I have a vision of Montezuma's pyramid. When I'm praying, I went, oh my God. I'm looking back, what, how many generations is that? Just in generations into this woman in the spirit world. What am I going to do? Be healed? No, man, I just started praying. I started weeping. Just, come, Lord, come, Lord, come, power, you know. And it was really cool. The Lord did not give me that vision so I could just go, you know. He gave it to me so I could minister to him. You know, I think one thing I did leave with that bunch is ministry is not touch and go. That ministry is hard work and takes time. And you got to be willing to give up time for people. That's what I was trying to convey to those people. It's not just this thing we see in American TV that's permeated. It's this big, the Holy Ghost is at our command. That's how heretical the word faith has gotten. That God literally sits in heavens waiting for us to tell him what to do. I don't know, last time I read the word and said the Lord is sovereign over all. He's the Lord, we're not. And when you actually see Jesus, when I see in the Bible, the people that actually see him, I don't see him taking the Bible and shaking it in his face. I see him on their face screaming. Look at Isaiah. Lord, woe is me! I'm in the midst, I'm unclean, we're all unclean, help! That's when you know you saw Jesus. Can you hear me? Oh, and by the way, you said the word. No. No, you're just going to, you'll die. In fact, you can't even, the Bible says you can't even be in the presence of God, but every atom will flee. I mean, your body will, every atom is held together. What is it? It's got the electron spins around, the neutron and the proton, I always get them mixed up, right? You know who holds that together? No, scientists call it the atomic glue. Did you know that? That's the official word that scientists call it, the atomic glue. They don't know what it is. They don't know why. The electron spins around the neutron proton thing. They don't know. They say the atomic glue. Well, what's the atomic glue? Colossians 1:17. He holds all things together. All right? And you know, they say the universe started with a big bang. It didn't start with a big bang. It's going to end with a big bang. Second Peter says, and there will be a great noise in the heavens. He's going to let all the atoms go. Boom! It's going to end with a big bang. They just got it backwards. And you know what? If you see Jesus, every atom will flee. In fact, we're told in Revelation 6 that when he comes again, Okay, the lamb comes. How many ever seen the face of a lamb? Docile looking creatures. But this is an angry lamb. Picture an angry lamb. It's hard. And it says they will see the lamb, angry, and they will run to the rocks, and they will say, "Rocks, please, please, fall on us and crush us and hide us from the wrath of the lamb." That's what it says. Whoa, that's an angry lamb. See, I don't see people shaking the word in his face. God is God. And one day every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess he's Lord. He'll light up the heavens, the universe. Such arrogance. That's a typical American heresy. Arrogant. Americans, forgive me, I love America. Born and raised here. My blood is red, okay? But it's an arrogant country. Full of pride. How were we born? How was it? You know, you can often tell a person about how they were born. You ever heard of illegitimacy, the curse of the bastard? Well, how were we born? We rebelled against Mother England. Now, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's how we were born. In rebellion. I think Norman Parrott said that's just a nice word. No, we're independence. Independence Day. That's a nice word for rebellion. Amen? We rebelled against Mother England. We had a declaration of rebellion. Okay? And so we were born in rebellion. And we've been in rebellion ever since. Now, in one sense, it's been, we have an entrepreneurial, do-it-your-own-way, independent, self-sufficient thing in America that's made us the beacon of technology. Everything that's anything has been invented here. Radio, TV, cars, planes, everything's been invented in this entrepreneurial United States. iPods, all invented in the United States. But spiritually, in the very birth of our country, there was a curse. Okay? And it's still there, and it's getting worse and worse. And now, oh gosh, just the floodgates since the 60s of the East and the New Age. And now it's just God's mercy he's keeping this country. He loves America. I love America. But when you go to other countries, which I'm blessed and privileged to do, you get your prior, you get the way, you see the way it happens. In fact, David Hogan said for 2 years he even refused to come across the Rio Grande. He just couldn't stomach America because of the religious spirits. Because he found the real thing with a bunch of Indians in destitution. He found the New Testament church. The Lord told him, you come up here. And he does. But you know, we need to be reminded, folks, what we live under. There is a principality over this country. It's a Jezebel. That woman standing in New York Harbor, it's a woman. Okay? It's a Jezebel spirit. There is a Jezebel rules over our country. Hello? Just a matter of time before we have a woman president. The Jezebel spirit rules. You look at just even to the comic pages. In the comic pages of the newspaper, the husband is always kind of the idiot fool. The wife's the intelligent, sharp, intuitive one. The husband's the idiot. I mean, most sitcoms have been like, hello? Now, I'm not saying in some cases that may not be the way it is. But that's the spirit. It's the spirit of Jezebel. Witchcraft. I'm sorry, that didn't quite turn out of my notes, but... Okay, confess your fault. We're going to bring this down, bring the plane in. I see the airport now. Confess your faults. You ready? Confession session of the soul, of your own sin. You know the problem with most people, why I find a lot of people are sick? They're stuck in the blame game of victimology. They can't even confess their faults. They're too busy looking at everybody else's. It says if we confess our sins. It doesn't say if you confess your husband's sins. Our sins, he's faithful and just. So the first thing is you got to take ownership of sin. Quit blaming. Get out of the blame mode. Man, that started with Adam. Adam, what did you do? The woman. Woman? The snake. Snake? And he looked around. That's where it started. Amen? We got to deal with the blame. We got to take ownership, take responsibility of our sin. That clears the secret demonic ground. Satan breeds in denial. Not self-denial. Denial. Unreality. Hypocrisy, blame. In fact, I've written a book back there. I think it's called Deliverance from the Blame Game of Victimology. You might pick it up. A little commercial there for the... It also allows light in the areas of hidden shame and secret sin and self-hatred. A lot of people are sick because of hidden shame, like that lady I was talking about. Actually, it was an occasion of bestiality. Or hidden shame or secret sin. Or self-hatred. Self-hatred rules a lot of women in our country. A lot of women wrestle with self-hatred. A lot of men wrestle with just pompous pride. A lot of women wrestle with self-hatred. Why? The whole culture breeds. You don't look right. You're not good enough. You've got to look this certain way to be acceptable to men. And so you don't like yourself. And you start, you know, doing all these things to make yourself something you're not. You try to conform by Madison Avenue. And of one, many things, and also abuse, sexual abuse, and just proliferates self-hatred for women. Most women that get into prostitution were abused by their fathers or brothers. And they hate themselves. And so they figure, well, you know, I'm not anything but a piece of junk anyway. Might as well throw my life away and make money at it. And so the Holy Ghost wants to get down and deal and put forgiveness down. But one of the keys is confess the faults. You got to get the sin out. You got to get it out. I'll tell a story here. It's kind of pushing a line, but that's okay. I need your prayers. My stepdaughter is in overt rebellion. And I married my wife 10 years ago, and she was just a youngster. She was about 10 then. And she's a druggy, thieving liar. They're doing coke. She and her boyfriend doing coke. They stole my wife's wallet. My own stepdaughter and her boyfriend stole my wife, her mom's wallet out of her purse, tried to use a credit card for drugs. And you call her and she's innocent. It's always everybody else. Oh, my, you know, lying, stealing drug addict. My daughter, my stepdaughter. And, you know, the first thing you're tempted to do, what did I do wrong? Amen. I mean, my wife and I, we've had what did we, and you know what? We did a lot wrong. Hello? But we also did a lot right. I mean, we did all we could. Thank God. So we got off to beat ourselves up. And then the Lord was so good. You know, God is so good. Two people in our church, one who has a TV vision. I call it, they just see things in the spirit. They had visions and dreams. So people come to us with visions and dreams. It's really cool. My stepdaughter, she's just crazy wild. She got this personality. She's out there like me, just right out there. And so when she's sinning, I mean, she's sinning. I mean, she's just, let me snort. Let me, at least she hated needles, thank God. Okay. But she's stealing and snorting and she's out there doing her thing. Well, the dream was that she's on fire for Jesus and she's a fanatic preacher. Isn't that cool? So I told my wife, I said, it's okay. God just got to get her and turn her around 180 degrees and aim that thing the right way. Amen? I think it was Martin Luther once said, if you're going to sin, sin boldly. None of this secret stuff. Just get it out! You know, and then it's out of your system and then max it for Jesus. Hello? I hope I'm not preaching heresy here. But am I right? This secret, deceitful, sneaky stuff. No. Get it out! And she's like, God, she can't. And she's funny when she lies. She's really funny. She stole some few months ago and she was sitting there in front of me. She just, and I looked at her and said, Faith, forgive me. It's hard not to laugh when you lie. 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 She knows I love her. That's her problem. She knows we really love her. We rebuke her and then we say, but we love you, Faith. We'll never leave you. We'll always be here for you. Can I imagine? Would y'all pray for my daughter? Her name is Faith. This is the season right now. My wife is going through it far more than me. Pray for her if you would. Faith. Did Jesus get a hold of her heart? And that heart of her boyfriend. Faith. Faith Fisher. That's my stepdaughter. F-A-Y-T-H-E. Faith. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that was the dream this lady had, and I have no doubt, because Faith heard me preach for years, and she knows I love her, but she sees I'm a pedal-to-the-metal type guy, and I'm a real guy. I say, Faith, I love you. I say, you got to get it out of your system, for crying out loud, don't get pregnant. I said, please don't get pregnant, okay? Because if you get pregnant, your daddy is going to raise him, not your mom and I, okay? Because that's my stepdaughter. And I said, please, I'm in my mid-50s. I don't want a baby. So we're praying she doesn't get pregnant. But I said, you know, and just, she's 21 now. And y'all pray for her. And I have no problem sharing this right now, because if she was here, I'd share it. Because so she'll repent, amen? But she's not. And I trust I'll come back next year and things will be different. What's the second thing? Oh, yeah, here. Confession is like applying medicine to the cause and not the symptom. What's the second condition of verse 16? Look, you ready? Pray for one another. Look, folks, there's two conditions for healing. One is confess, and the second is take your eyes off yourself. Pray for one another. The second condition for physical healing involves taking your focus off yourself to the needs of others. Job 42:10 says, when Job prayed for his friends, his captivity changed. I can personally attest to you that since I've been in the ministry and focused my time and needs for the needs of others, my needs have been abundantly met. Physical, spiritual, relational, financial needs have been abundantly met when my focus is on the needs of others. It's that simple. I wrote here, in consistent and extraordinary ways. He continually blows my mind how he blesses me, how he provides all for my needs. It's amazing to me. I started this little part-time thing with this finance company, you know, just to make, my goal was to make a couple hundred extra a month to meet the bills. I'm supporting a mother-in-law. And lo and behold, I'll be a regional vice president by this summer for this company, part-time. In fact, the national guy has said, normally preachers, we don't make them that. Because you got to be full-time. He says, but I'll let you be it. Because he happens to be a preacher's son. And God just blesses me like that. And I just pray. When I go see my clients, you know, on the way, I'm praying in tongues. And I'm praying, I say, Jesus, let me not get into the soul. Let me just go in there and offer what my client needs. And things happen. And Jesus always comes up because I sell retirement plans and I sell investments and mutual funds and IRAs. And I always bring up, well, you know, if the Lord tarries, this is how much you're going to make, blah, 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 blah. I said, what? If the Lord tarries, you know, if Jesus does not come again and you reach retirement age, this is the kind of funds you'll be able to. It's great. It's just going to. The last place, James 5:16, part B. Is this helpful to you this morning, folks? Analyzing the root reasons why you get sick, and one of the clearest places in the Word that God has given us of what I call Holy Ghost ministry. Not this touching ghost stuff that's so common. In conclusion, James 5:16b, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's amazing how people pluck things out of verses. They pluck this out of verse and they apply that verse. Oh, the effectual, fervent prayer. They just quote. Have you ever heard anybody ever quote that? The effectual, fervent prayer. But do they have a quote in context? It's amazing when you look at things in context. What is he talking about, the effectual, fervent prayer? What we just talked about. That's the effectual, the prayer that's fervent, that has effectual, that has effect. And it avails much. He says if you'll just do the right thing, if you'll minister to the root reasons. Because I tell you what, you can run the lawnmower over crabgrass all day long. Next week, it'll be back up again. Amen? You're going to have to get out there and, you know, I'm sorry, a lot of ministries today are just big lawnmower ministries. Run over your crabgrass. But I know you'll be back next Sunday because your crabgrass will be high and we'll run over it again. And most people don't want to be at deliverance ministry. You got to get on your hands and knees. You get your hands dirty. Pull that sucker out. You know, and pull another one. I hate weeding. But you know what? It won't come back. That's what deliverance is. So, how many of y'all want to give up your lawnmower ministry and get into weeding? Let's all stand. Praise God. Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I pray for your word would go deep in our hearts today. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, let your word find its place deep, written within the very foundation of who we are. I pray, Lord, for everyone here that's listening to this CD, Lord, that forgiveness would find a foundation in the soul. Lord, that we would not only know we're forgiven, but we would forgive ourselves. And we get off our own back, Lord. Our sin is not our deal. Our only ability is to sin worse. It's your problem. You took care of it. We can forgive ourselves, be forgiven, and just walk with you. And not listen to the accuser of the brethren. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you. I take authority today against the accuser. I say to you, because of the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from all sin, I take the power of the accuser out of our lives. I take the lie of the accusation, the condemnation, the guilt, and the shame. I take it in Jesus' name. And I pray for those, Lord, that have listened, that have been, their conscience has been pricked while I was sharing. They realize there's something in their life they need to bring to the light. There's a hidden sin, a hidden torment, a hidden something from way back that's egged them and nagged them. Lord, I pray in your mercy you would lead their steps to mature brothers and sisters in Christ with whom they can finally get it out. Get the splinter out and the festering will leave, and they can receive the forgiveness to the foundation of their soul. Lord, and then the healing, praise God, the anointing can flow. We bless you, Lord. Give us more and more wisdom in the things of the Spirit. And we just pray a blessing over our meal and our fellowship together today in Jesus' name. Amen? Don't leave. Have a seat. Our brother is going to take an offering. You want me to pray for the offering? You know, it's wise to take an offering after sermon, brother. Lord, we thank you for this camp. We thank you for the freedom and the spirit here. Gosh, I just love this place. And I thank you for how you provided over the years. And I pray you would speak to all these that are here today, those that will be coming in the next few days. Lord, that all the needs will be amply met. Just speak to us in our heart. Lord, we don't have to be afraid. We cannot give God. Whatever we give unto you, you give back many, many fold. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pass the offering basket. Hallelujah. You're dismissed. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.